All right, Jevosai, good morning. Our shir this morning is dedicated by Avram and Shandy Kelman and family commemoration of the 24th yard site of Avram's father, Jerome W. Kelman, Rafael Yechiel ben Avram. We hope that in the merit of our Tam Torah's Nisham will have an aliyah and the family in Achama. I also want to thank Yehuda for giving the shir yesterday. And we're going to pick up, we'll say, a beautiful, beautiful daf today. So today is Chav Tes. We are picking up Chav Ches Amud Beis, the two dots. Rabbi Huda Omer ben Miskaven Chayes. So let's pick up. It's 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So Rabbi Huda Omer Miskaven Chayes. So we'll say, remember again, in the Mishnah we had an interesting machlokes. In the Mishnah we had the machlokes of my jug nishpura kado b'rishus harabim. My jug broke in the rishus harabim. And what happens? V'huchlak echad b'mayim v'shalka b'charasis. So the Mishnah's cases were someone either slipped in the water, or ultimately was injured by one of the shards. So the Mishnah Paskin Chayiv. So the Tanakhama said that Rabbanan said that I, meaning the owner of the jug, am Chayiv to damage. Rabbi Yehuda says, b'miskavin Chayiv, be'eno miskavin Potter. Rabbi Yehuda says, if I had intention that I'm Chayiv, if I didn't have intention, I'm Potter. Fine. So we'll say now we're going to analyze, in yesterday's daf, we focused on the sheet of the Rabbanan. So today we're going to focus on the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, heichi tami miskavin. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean when he says miskavin? What does that mean? That if I had kavana, I'm chayiv. Kavana for what? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba be miskavin horid lamatin ksefo. So Rabba says, it's talking about a case where I had kavana to take the jug off my shoulder. In other words, that I have kavana for the act of taking down the jug from my shoulder. Amar le Abaye. Someone says, so what that means is, if I had in mind to take down the jug, ultimately again, and something happens that causes the jug to break, the water to spill, and then damage occurs, then the maisa again, I am chayiv. Now we'll say, now what does that come to exclude? What that seems to come to exclude is a case of where the jug just breaks while it's on my shoulder. So if the jug just breaks while it's on my shoulder, that would be a case of onis. That would be a case of extenuating circumstances. And Rabbi Meir would agree that Lamaisa again, Rabbi Huda would agree that I am potter for that. Amar Abaye. So Abaye says, Mechlal de Mechayev Rabbi Meir Afilu Nifshura. So you're saying, remember, Rabbi Meir is the Tanakama. So you're saying that according to Rabbi Meir, what that means is that even if the jug disintegrated while on my shoulders, that I am chayiv for that? That's the inference over here. So the Gemara says, Amar Le'in. He said, yes, that is the case. Because we also remember again, the Tanakhama said, you're chayiv in all cases. It's Rabbi Yehuda came along and said, the miskaven you're chayiv, ino miskaven you're potter. So if we're saying that miskaven means, kavana to take the jug off my shoulder, that seems to indicate that Rabbi Meir, the Tanakhama would hold, that even if the jug nifshara means disintegrated, literally on my shoulder, just fell apart while it's on my shoulder, and falls into shuradim, and somebody slips on it, and gets injured, that lamai said, they're chayiv. So the Gemara said, amalayin. So to which Rabbi said, yes, Rabbi Meir would hold that even if it disintegrates on my shoulder, he's chayiv. So the Gemara says, in mechayiv hayir Rabbi Meir afilu ozno biado. Rabbi Meir would be chayiv that even if all you're left holding is what? Is the handle of the jug, because everything else disintegrated, you would in fact be chayiv for that. But how could that be? Amai onusu. Both say, if I'm walking through Rosh Sarabim and I'm holding my jug on my shoulder, and what happens? The jug just disintegrates, and all I'm left with is holding the handle of the jug. Why would I be chayiv for damages that occur as a result of that? That's onis, that's extenuating circumstances. V'onus rachmana patre. And both say, we know that the Torah exempts one from extenuating circumstances. Both say, where do we learn that from? Dichsiv is actually the source for onis rachmana patre. That for the girl you shall not do anything terrible. So this is talking about a nara hamurasa, a girl who was betrothed to be married, already had kiddushin, she's a married woman, and a man violates her. Ultimately, the man is put to death. But the Torah says, "La nara la nasa sedavar." Obviously, the girl has no culpability. Why does the girl have no culpability? Because she was violated. So from here, I will say we see ones rachmana patre. Just so you understand, this is the source for this halacha. You also understand now why Chazal the word also used for rape, for a violation, is ones. So the ones rachmana patre comes from this particular concept. So if everybody agrees with ones rachmana patre, so the ma'isa again, why would Rabbi Meir hold that if the jug disintegrates, that lamaisa again, you'd be chayiv for any damages caused? What's the pshat? To which the Gemara says, sahani mili v'chitei mahani mili yin kitala. I might have thought, when do we see onis rachmana patre? That's only when it comes to matters of death. That ultimately, if I engaged in something, or something happened that normally would carry a death penalty, but it was extenuating circumstances, I'm not put to death. Avale inyan ezik in chayiv. that maybe I will say when it comes to matters of damages, I am chayiv. I v'hatanya nishpura kadov lo silko. We have another braisa, and the braisa says, if my jug fell and I didn't remove it from Rishus Rabim, or my camel fell and I failed to stand it back up, Rabbi Meir mechayiv ve'zikon ve'chachamim omrim pater medine adam top of chavtas ve'chayiv medine shemayim. So we'll say on one hand, so we'll say listen to this case. So now understand what we're having over here. So what the Gemara is now suggesting is that Lamaisa, Rabbi Huda holds the case of miskaven is where I have intention to take it off my shoulder and put it down, and it breaks. In the course of that, it breaks. Well, we'll see what happens. It breaks. If somebody gets injured, I'm chayiv for that. If that's the Rabbi Huda Shita, then Rabbi Meir would essentially hold that even if the barrel disintegrates on my shoulder and falls into some causes damage, I am chayiv for that. The problem with that is that's an ones case, that's extenuating circumstances. Yet Rabbi Meir is still saying that what? That I am chayiv. Yet we thought everyone holds ones rachmana patre. Well, maybe ones rachmana patre is only in capital situations, meaning with a death penalty. But in terms of nezikin for damages, perhaps I'm chayiv all of the time. After all, the Gemara now, the Gemara brings a brisa. So the brisa says, here's the brisa's case. My jug broke and I failed to remove it, or my camel fell down and I didn't stand it back up. Rabbi Meir says, I'm chayiv for all nezik. Chacham say, I'm pater bedine adam and chayiv bedine shamayim. So says the Gemara, watch this. Umodim chacham Rabbi Meir ba'avno sakinu maso shenicham arosh agag v'naflo beruach mitzuya ve'ziko shu chayiv. So the rabbis agree with Rabbi Meir that if someone placed their stone or their knife or their bundle on a rooftop and it fell off the rooftop with a ruach mitzuya, with a simple wind, they will agree to Rabbi Meir that you will be chayiv for that. Umodim, because they're going to both say that's just pshia, that's just simple negligence. Umod Rabbi Meir l'Rabbanon, b'malek kankanin al agag, amnas l'nagvan, v'nafa b'ruach she'inu mutsuye ve'zikon shupater. And Abbas Rabbi Meir will agree with the Rabbanon that if someone brought up jugs, so let's say earthenware jugs, and they brought them up to the top of the roof to dry out in the sunlight, and what happened? A ruach she'inu mutsuye, a gale force wind comes along and knocks the jugs off the roof, and ultimately does damage to someone. Rabbi Meir will agree with the Rabban Abba said that in that case, you're pater. Why are you pater, Abba Osai? Why are you pater? Why? Because that's a case of ones, right? With gale force winds blowing utensils off my roof is a case ultimately again of ones, and ones rachmana patre. What do you therefore see? You therefore see that even Rabbi Meir subscribes to the idea that ones rachmana patre, that you are exempt for extenuating circumstances. So let's bring this full circle. If Rabbi Meir holds that you are exempt for extenuating circumstances, then what? Then if I'm holding the jug on my shoulder, and the jug just disintegrates on my shoulder, then right, and it falls on the Rishus Rabim, and somebody slips on it and gets injured, what should be the halacha? What should be the halacha? I should be putter, because at the end of the day, that is an ones case. And we've just demonstrated that even Rabbi Meir subscribes to the concept of ones. Ela amr Abaye betarti pligi. So let's listen to this. Ela rather says Abaye, in reality, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Huda, we'll call Rabbi Huda and the Rabbanon, disagree in two cases. What are the two cases? So the Gemara says, pligi bishas nefila, u pligi la'achar nefila. So they both say, they argue about damage caused at the time of falling and at damage caused after falling. What does this mean? Pligi bishas nefila beniskal posheh. So this is actually a fascinating discussion. Here's their fundamental argument. Is tripping considered to be negligent? So I trip, and as a result, again, my utensil falls and breaks. Is the act of tripping considered to be negligent as well? So mar savar niskal posheh. So we'll say the Tanakama holds that tripping is negligence. Umar Sava, whereas Rabbi Huda holds niska lav posheahu. Right? So Rabbi Huda holds that tripping is not posheahu. So now, what do you mean? What does that mean that tripping is negligent? So what does that mean? Be careful. Be careful. Bose, it's incredible you sowed, by the way. Just, you know, you understand that the Musar message in Baba Kama, the Musar message in Baba Kama, is that you're responsible for what happens. You're responsible for what happens. And again, the operative phrase is the bayle, the iune. I should have been more careful. I should have been more careful. Yes, are there those types of cases that are absolutely unavoidable? There are, but those cases, and this is true, both say, in life in general, those cases are few and far between. For most situations in life, I am responsible for the outcome, for what happens in those situations. It's incredible, Yisod, because you understand that in contemporary society, we do anything and everything to free the individual of responsibility. You're not really responsible because society did this to you or this happened to you. Baba Kama teaches me pretty much, except for those rare cases of onis, I am responsible for what happens in life. An incredible yisod. Therefore, ultimately, again, Rabbi Yehuda holds, the Tanakhama holds, excuse me, that tripping, I am responsible for that. That's my negligence. I should have been more careful. Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, tripping, I'm not a poshea. So the Gemara says that, so that's the first machlokis. So the first level of machlokis is, am I chayif for tripping? After that, la'achar nefila, the machkir nezaka. So both say, so that's the first stage of the machlokis. Because remember, the way that this utensil broke is that I tripped. The way the Gemara is setting it up is I tripped. The utensil fell and broke. So the shaila number one is, am I a poshea in the breakage of the utensil? That's number one. Number two is, after now the utensil is broken, what's the case of the Mishnah? Listen to this. So le'achar nafila b'mafkir nezakav. So we'll say, so now what happens after I go ahead and I trip, the shards are on the Rosh Hashanah, and I say to myself, what am I going to do, pottery shards? I'm mafkir them. I make them hefker. So Mar Savar Mafkir Nezakav Chayiv. So we'll say, so one opinion holds that even if you make now Nezakav means my damaging property. Those shards now are Nezak property. They're capable of doing damage. So Tanakama holds that even if I make my damaging property hefker, I'm still responsible for damages that occur. Umar Savar Pater, and Rabbi Huda on the other hand holds that no, if you're Mafkir Nezakav, we'll say, not to be confused with what? Mafkir nechasav. Mafkir nechasav means you're mafkir your property. Mafkir nezakav is also being mafkir my property, but specifically property that has the capacity to do damage. So the Tanakhama holds, Rabbi Huda holds, that if you go ahead and you're mafkir nezakav, you are potter. Now, so take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says mafkir nezakav. It's the last wide line on the top of Rashi, fourth line down from the top. So mafkir nezakav kegon zeh. So we'll say, in this case over here, when I fall and my utensil breaks, bepashtos, I'm not retaining ownership over the shards. Rabbi Meir Sover, mafkir nezakav chayiv, dibar shechayiv alav Torah bebar b'shtram shehefkiru. So actually, we'll see the rest of this in the Gemara. So it says, let's go back to Mimai. So how do we know that? So we'll say, so now the way the Gemara is setting this up is, we have a two-tier machlokis in the Mishnah. Machlokis number one is, what is the status of tripping? Is tripping considered to be ones, or is tripping considered to be pshia? Ultimately, the Rabbanon will say, Rabbanon slash Rabbi Meir, will say that you're responsible for tripping, right? Niskal posheo, you're responsible for tripping. Rabbi Huda says, no, essentially tripping is an ones. That's machlokis number one. Machlokis number two is, what happens after I fall, the utensil breaks, what's the status of the shards? If I mafkir the shards, what's the halacha? Ultimately, again, so Rabbi Yehuda will say, mafkir nezakov, it's hefker, I'm not responsible for it. Rabbi Meir slash Rabbanon will say, I'm chayiv for it. So we might, I don't know, this is the machlokis. Midik tani tarti, because we'll say, even look at the wording of the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Hochlok echa b'mayim, o shalaka b'charasis. Remember again, the Mishnah said that what happens? I drop my utensil, and then someone comes along and either slips in the water or gets injured by the shard. So why those two cases? Hainu hach, is that not the same case? In other words, what you're saying is, I dropped the barrel, I dropped the jug, and someone either got injured by the water that spilled out or by the pottery shard. But it's the same case. Why do you have to say it two different ways? So the Gemara says, no. I love hachikamer. Really, it's two cases. What are the two cases? Hochlok echa b'mayim b'shas nefila. Oh, we both say the case of where someone slips in the water is what case? Is when as I'm falling, as I'm tripping, some of the water falls out of the utensil. But what's the status of the utensil? It's whole, meaning it's pre-breakage. So I slip a little bit, and what happens? As I'm slipping, some of the water falls out, and someone else slips on the water. So they both say, that's a shaila in what? How do we view slipping? Right? How do we view tripping? If tripping is poshea, so I'll say, so imagine this scene over here. So now what happens? I'm walking, I trip. I'm holding my jug on my shoulder. Some of the water spills down, which is a rabbin. Reuben comes along and now slips on the water. That's case number one. Case number two is what? Now I fall, or the jug falls, breaks. Shimon comes along and what? And injures himself on the shards. Now remember, what did I do with those shards? I was mafkir them. So two different cases. So there's the damage of Reuben, which is in the spilled water, and there is the damage of Shimon, which is in the ownerless shards. So now, both, I say, understand those are two different discussions, because now the case in the water has to deal with, well, what's the status of tripping, right? Is tripping poshea or not? If it's poshea, I'm chayiv for Reuben's slippage. If it's not poshea, if it's ones, then I'm not chayiv for Reuben's slippage. Case number two is now I was mafkir, I made ownerless the shards. When Shimon gets injured on the shards, so what's the status of ownerless nezakav, of ownerless damaging property? It's fascinating machlokes.
Is mafkir the water also?
I'm sorry?
The water is the water. He drops the water.
The water is also hefker, right. But still, the shaila at the end of the day, the Gemara is clarifying two different things. The Gemara wants to know what's the status ultimately again of tripping and then hefker. There's no point in bringing hefker into the discussion of water because then the discussion is repetitive.
But it's got to be the same.
Well, so we'll see why the Gemara wants to be mechalik. Again, you are correct. You can make the water case. You can make the water case hefker also, but the Gemara the Mishnah wants to clarify a different question, which is niskal pshia. Say differently. If you wanted to condense, if you wanted to collapse the Mishnah into one case, correct, you could. But we definitely want to break it apart because we don't just want to focus on the status of the object. We also want to focus a little bit on the status of the process. So says the Gemara. Fine. So we'll say, now that we've established the Mishnah in two different cases, now what? So Bryce and Nami Bitarti. Now the Bryce is going to be two different cases as well. Now we'll say, now let's remember again, what was the Bryce? So the Bryce was the last two lines on Chav Ches Amud Beis. The Bryce's case was Nishpara Kado Velo Sulko. If a person went ahead and what? The person went ahead and broke the jug, or the jug broke and he did not remove the shards, or his camel fell down and he did not stand it up. So we'll say, so now that we're establishing the Mishnah as being two cases, we're also going to establish the Braisa as two cases as well. So the Gemara says the following. So Bishlam Akado Mishkachas La, Obishas Nefila, Ola Achar Nefila. So we'll say, the case of the jug, I understand that you could set it up as being a case of what? As being a case of prior to the falling and after to the falling, right? Again, you could set up the case as where the water spilled out ultimately again at the time the person was tripping and afterwards when he fell the shards. So the Gemara says, Ela Gemalo, Bishlam ala achar nafila mishkachas la, b'mafkir nevelaso, ava b'shas nafila hechi mishkachas la. So here's the interesting part. In the case of the camel, I understand how you could set up a situation where the camel does damage after it fell. Right? But so the Maisa, what's the case? The case where my camel fell and died. And what happens? I was mafgir, I rendered the carcass ownerless. And now someone gets injured on the carcass, so the shaila is, am I responsible for those damages or not? But I will say, where are you going to see a case of pshia in the falling of the camel? In other words, I will say, if the camel falls down, if the camel trips, how could that ever be considered the owner's pshia? I didn't do anything. Look at Rashi just a moment. Ela b'shas nafila. Rashi says, Heichi ikal ameimar niskal posheahu. How can you come up with a case of Osai in the camel where tripping would can be considered to be pshia? So the Gemara says, Mahu yachalasos im niskala behemto. What could I have done if my animal tripped? Dibishlam niskal hu v'nish barakado ikal ameimar ibayle li'iyunei umezel. So we'll say, I understand if I trip, you can make the argument that what? That I should have been a little bit more careful and watch where I was going. So therefore, if I trip, I bear some level of responsibility for that. But if my animal trips, so the mice again, what could I have done? How could I have been more careful to avoid the tripping of my animal? To which the Yimar Zahamar Abacha, Kigon the Avra B'maya Derech Shar Osa Dinara. What's the case of Osai? Where I took my animal over the flooded road by the river. In other words, there's a road that runs by the river. The river overflowed, and I took my animal on that road. And because my animal could not see where it was walking, therefore what? Rashi says over here, Shar Asa Dinara, Shagadlo Hanar Vikisas Ein Aderach. The water overflowed, the river overflowed, and covered the road. Uposheo Bekach. And therefore I'm negligent with this. Why? Because I took my animal on a road where the animal can't see where it's going. If the animal can't see where it's going, and it trips, then the maisa, I, the owner, am a poshea, am negligent for taking the animal on that road. So the Gemara says, hechidami. So what's the case? So I must say, it's obvious, if there was another way for me to take my animal, and I took my animal on the flooded road, then of course I am a poshe, I am negligent. But I must say, at the end of the day, if what? If there was no other way to go, then anusu, then ultimately again I'm an ones. So again, so the mice, again, why would I be responsible? So let's listen to this. Ella, I'll tell you the case. Rather, I must say, the case of here is where what? I, the owner, I'm leading my animal, I trip, and then the camel trips over me. So we'll say, in that kind of case, again, so now the shaila is, the trippage, or the falling of the animal, is a result of my tripping. So then this goes back to the previous machlokas. If you say that niskal poshea, if you say that when someone trips, then they're negligent, so the mice, again, if some damage is caused as a result of the trippage of the animal, I'm responsible for that because at the end of the day, the animal tripped because of me. If I ever hold niskal in a poshea, that tripping is an onis, it's not a poshea, I'm not negligent, then the mice again, if damage is caused by the falling of the camel, I'm not responsible for that because that will be an onis case. So we'll say, just so you know, the way the Rambam paskins is niskal lav posheahu. The Rambam paskins, Shulchan paskins will say also, that tripping is not considered to be negligent. That even though we say that lemaisa again iboile liyune, and we'll see by the Rabbosa that there are certain times where if I cause certain damages, the halacha says watch where you're going. But lemaisa we assume that a person does not walk with their eyes necessarily glued to the ground. So because of that, the halacha understands tripping will absolutely happen. Now we'll see certain cases of tripping that are just negligent. But in general, again, we don't say that an act of tripping is an act of negligence. Rather, we accept the fact that people trip over stuff. Fine. So now they're both saying, the Gemara says, Machir Nizakov, my Miskavinika. So we'll say, listen to this. So now ask the Gemara over here, what's the case? Machir Nizakov. So we'll say, remember, now the second Machlokas that we saw, let me say differently. The Gemara was now suggesting that there are two tiers in the Machlokas and the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is the Rabbanon. So what are the two tiers in the Machlokas? So Machlokas number one is how you view tripping. Is Niskal Poshe La Poshe? So we've dealt with that. Second part was, now my jug breaks, and what happens? I'm Mafgir, I make the shards Hefker. So the Shaila now is what? So now Shimon comes along and gets damaged on the shards. Am I Chayev for those damages or not? So says the Gemara, Mafgir Nezakov, my miskavinika. So I'll say, if I'm mafkir my shards, and someone ultimately goes ahead and gets damaged, what kavana is there into that? What kavana is there? What intent did I have to damage the other party? I'm Rav Yosef, the miskavin lezakos becharisel. Oh, we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is lemaisa, where after my jug broke, I had in mind to what? To acquire the shards. Oh, if I have in mind to acquire the shards, I will say, then what? Then lemaisa, again, they're mine. If they're mine, then when Shimon ultimately is damaged on them, I am absolutely chayav. Look at Rashi, lezakos becharasel shelo efkiran. We'll say, so the case according to Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda would say that if there's kavana, I'd be chayav, the kavana is to reacquire the shards. That if I have a kavana to reacquire the shards, then lemaisa, again, I am absolutely chayav for that. So Rashi says, shelo efkiran chayav, b'shein miskavin shuv lezakos ben potter, the mafkir nezakov potter. So v'cheinu maravashi, b'miskavin lezakos becharosel. This is what Ravashi said, if after I fall and the jug breaks, and I have in mind to reacquire the shards, and before I get a chance to pick them back up, what happens? Shimon trips over them and is injured. I am chayav for that because that is my property. Rabbi Elazar Omer, b'shas nafila machlokes. Rabbi Elazar says that the machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is only at the time of nafila, is only at the time of falling. What Rabbi Elazar is suggesting is the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is about the nature of tripping. Is tripping poshea or not? However, but after you tripped and the jug is broken, lying in a shuraim, what's the halacha? Divrei hakol potter. Everyone will agree that you are potter for any subsequent damages. The Gemara says, really? It's only one problem with that statement, which is what? It's not true. Because Rabbi Meir said in the Mishnah, that's what? You are a chayiv, ultimately, again, for the shards. So the Gemara says, Elamai, Divrakol chayiv. So Rabbi, you have to say, everyone agrees that after the shards break, and so Rabbi, everybody agrees that you're chayiv. Really? Is that true? That's not true. The Rabbanan say that you're potter. Elamai b'shas nefila. Rather says the Gemara, what does it mean b'shas nefila? Af b'shas nefila. So we'll say ultimately again what Rabbi Lazar meant to say was the machlokis was af b'shas nefila. Not only is the machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan when? In the realm of tripping, but the machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan is even after what? Even after the person has fallen and the jug is now broken and the shards are sitting in a sharabim, that will also be the machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan. Look at the last Rashi. Af b'shas nefila. Rashi says, umishum delishna debraisa la mishtama b'shas nefila. Ultimately, again, and to tell us Allah Chavaz Abay, the Nimi will say what? That the machlokis and the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon is what? Is both at the time that the person tripped, as well as after the person fell and the pottery shards are sitting in the Shaz Arabim. Rabbi Meir,
responsible for the shards, even though he didn't have 5 minutes to clean them up.
Yeah, 100%. If you hold that there is responsibility, that responsibility is immediate. That is correct. There's no like 10 minutes to get your act together and clean up the shards. You're responsible for according to the one who says you're responsible immediately. So also what the Gemara now is suggesting is that Lemaisig in the Machlokes in Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah is in both cases. Is in the case ultimately of Niskal of tripping, as well as after the fact being chayiv for the shards as they do damage in Rosh Sarabim. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Meir will say that you are chayiv in both cases. Rabbi Yehuda will say that you're potter for tripping. Tripping is not posheah. And number two, for the shards, you're only chayiv if what? You're only chayiv b'meskaveh, which means you had kavanah to reacquire them. But if you did not have kavanah to reacquire them, then what? Then they're owner of the shards in Rosh Sarabim for which you are not chayiv. I turn the page. Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Yochanan says that after you fell, meaning when the shards are there, lemaisa again, there's a machlokes. However, but at the time that you fell, so in other words, when it comes to niskal, when it comes to tripping, what is that halacha? Devrei hakol poter. Everyone agrees that niskal lav posher, who tripping is not negligent, and therefore you're poter. I v'hami to come, Rabbi Yochanan, come on. The fact that Rabbi Yochanan said before, don't say that our Mishnah reflects the view of Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir says that Niskal Poshea, Michlad Rabbi Meir Bechayev. So right, so the Gemara says, 1 second, how can you say that everyone agrees that Niskal Poshea, the Niskal is the tripping is an ones? Rabbi Meir is on record as saying that what? That tripping is a Poshea, that you're responsible for that. Elamai, rather, what do you have to say? Devriakol Chayev. That everyone agrees that what? Everyone agrees that lemaisa again, you are chayiv for tripping. Everyone will agree that niskal posheya. Well, how can you say that? V'habi dikam Rabbi Yochanan lekamon lo tema masnisin Rabbi Meir he damar niskal poshehu mechlad de pachi rabbanon. So both say on the other hand again, we from inference based on the fact said that the Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir in the case that says what that the rabbanon. Perhaps in other words, the Gemara's question Rabbi Yochanan wanted to suggest. That the only machlokes that are made in the Rabbanan in the Mishnah is after you fell, the jug broke, and so the machlokes is the status of the shards. You're responsible for the damage done by the shards or not. But when it comes to tripping, everyone agrees. Gemara clearly shows is not everybody agrees. That's a fundamental machlokes as well. Rabbi Meir says, Niskal posheya, that tripping ultimately is negligence. And the Rabbanan say, Niskal lav posheya, that tripping is not negligent. Ella hakamashmalan. Rabbi say, rather, here we go. Here's the bottom line. Ella hakamashmalan. The mafkir nizakov. So we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where after I fell, my jug broke, and I was mafkir the shards. So the Gemara says an amazing statement. It's dafka dahacha who depachir abanon da onesu. Ava mafkir nizakov ba'alma. This is a groundbreaking statement. So the Gemara essentially says like this. It's only in this case where the rabbis will agree that if you're mafkir, you're damaging property, and then someone else subsequently is damaged on the property, then I am potter. But in other cases, I am chayav. What does this mean? Let me explain this to you. Gemara says like this. The Rabbanan will say, remember, what's the case of it? I'm carrying my jug. I trip. I fall. Jug breaks. Reuven walks by and gets damaged on the shard. The Gemara now is suggesting that everyone is going to agree in this case that what? That I am potter for the damages that occur. Why am I potter for the damages that occur? So we'll say, remember, so this is really a twofold piece. Because according to Rabbanan, number one, so tripping is not negligence. That's number one. Number two, I will say, because the way this jug broke was because of an act of ones, that Rabbanan say it's dafka in this case, that if I'm mafgir, the object, I am potter. Because the way that the object got into Rishus HaRabim was through what? Was through an ones circumstance. But under other circumstances, if I place a damaging object in Rishus HaRabim and I mafgir it, I declare it ownerless, I will still be responsible for damages that occur as a result of that object. So it's dafka in this case, because the object got there through extenuating circumstances, because I felt that if I choose to be mafkirit, ultimately it's hefker, the Rabbanu will say that it works. But in other cases, if I mafkir a damaging item, lemaisa, or an item capable of damaging another, so lemaisa, again, that object will still be mine, or lemaisa, I'll still be chayiv for the damages that it occurs. So we'll say, take a look at Rashi. Hamafkir nezakav dacha, it's the second line on top. Rashi says, v'tchilasa onis. It's dafka in this case, where the beginning of this circumstance is onis, is unavoidable circumstances, because lemaisa, again, I've gone ahead and I tripped. So the Bachi Rabbanon. About Mafkir Nezak of the Alma. But I will say, just stop making my damaging property Hefker. Kegon Sheshlichu Midas Vigon Barbish Sarabi Mechaivi. Vachi Kamar La Achron Afilu Machlokis Chomer Hai Machlokis Figure I Mei Rabbanon Behefkir Nezak of La Achron Afilu. Shetchilas Aydin Afilu. Ava Aydi Ashlachalo Pligi Velo Tehidu. Fine. So I will say, Solomayski, what the Gemara now suggests is that it's only in this case of Mafkir Nezakov. Only in this case, ultimately, again, where the way this item came into Rosh Hashanah is through my slipping, which was an ones case, that's where the Rabbanon hold that lamaisa, again, I will be putter for the damages that occurred. But in a regular case, let's say a bar, or where I place the damages there, I will be chayiv ultimately for damages that occur. So itmar, so we'll say, so again, so let me just clarify this point, because it's very important. So what the Gemara is suggesting is, here's what we have. We still have our fundamental machlokas when it comes to tripping. Rabbi Meir holds tripping is pshia, is negligence. The Rabbanon holds pshia, that tripping is not pshia. Remember again, now I trip, I fall, the item is damaged, and someone's damaged by the shard. In this case, everyone will agree that I am not responsible for the damages that occurred. So Bosei said that the novelty over here is that even though the Rabbana normally hold that if you're mafkir, you're nezakav, you're damaging property, that you will still be chayiv for that, in this case we'll hold that you will be pater. Why? Because since the way this damaging property unfolded was through ones circumstances, therefore at the end of the day I am pater for that. But where the damaging item comes to the Rosh Rabbim, not through extenuating circumstances, I will be chayiv for subsequent damages. Itmar, mafkir nezakov, if a person makes his object ownerless, Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, chad amar chayiv, chad amar potter. One says that I'm chayiv for damages that occur, and one says ultimately again that I am potter. So say that the one who makes you chayiv is like Rabbi Meir, and the one who makes you potter is like the Rabbanon. To which the Gemara says, no, Ali, but Rabbi Meir kuli amalo pligi. So what's in reality, according to Rabbi Meir, everyone agrees. Rashi says, Ali, but Rabbi Meir kuli amalo pligi, tahashta behifkir nezakov, haba ayide onis mitchila mechayif, kol shekein hefkir shetchila sabaratzon. So we'll say, ultimately, if Rabbi Meir holds in a case where what? If Rabbi Meir holds even that in a case where when you fall, right, and you make the objects ownerless, you're still chayif for damages they create, all the more so in what? When I willingly make it hefker, of course I'm going to be responsible for that. Ki pligi, where does the machlokas come up with? Meaning, aliba de Rabbanon. According to the Rabbanon. Man de pater ki Rabbanon. So we'll say, ultimately, the one who says that you're exempt is like the Rabbanon, because what we just said before. Because the Rabbanon will hold that they will say, when ultimately the damaging property comes about as a result of an ones event, the Rabbanon will say, and then ultimately, again, you're mafkirit afterwards, the Rabbanon will say that you're not responsible for what occurs. Uman de mechayiv, but the one who says that you are chayiv, Amr lecha, anav dar mefilu Rabbanon. We hold even like the Rabbanon. How so? Ad kano pach rabbanu ela b'mafkir nizakav dehacha mishum da'onesu. So I'll say ultimately again, the only case where the rabbi said that if you're mafkir, your property, and it does damage, right, that your pater is only in this case. This case being what? Where how did the damaging property get to Rishus HaRabim? Through an ones. That's what the Rabbanan say, that if you're mafkir, it will take it out of your Rishus. Ava mafkir nezak of the amav mechayvi. But at the end of the day, as we just said before, even the rabbis will agree that under stamp circumstances, if you create something that has the capacity to damage people in the Rishus HaRabim, even though you're mafkir it, it is still your responsibility. So tistayim the Rabbi Lazar, so it appears clear that Rabbi Lazar is the one who says that ultimately you're chayiv, even for mafkir nezakov birshus harabim. The Amar Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shmuel, shnei dvarim ena birshus hashal adam asal hakasav kilein birshuso. There are two things, Rabbi Osai, that are not in the rishus of a person. Technically, they're not in my rishus, but the Torah put them back in my rishus. And what are they? Number one, the Elohim, bar birshus harabim. So we'll say number one is a bar shusam. So what's that case? Look at Rashi, bar birshus harabim. I was really Rabbi Lazar, dechiyubit the bar birshus harabim. So let's listen to this. What's the case of bar birshus harabim? I dig a pit in birshus harabim. And I say what? I say I'm mafkir the pit. Now I will say, you understand, if you dig a pit in birshus harabim, the truth is, it's not even a question of hefker. Why is it not a question of hefker? Because you never owned it anyways. It's just harabim. But amazingly enough, so we'll say, one could create a cogent halachic argument to say that if I dig a pit in Rishus HaRabim, and then what happens? You fall into it and break your leg. I'm not chayif for that. Why am I not chayif? But it's not mine. It's not mine. I don't own the pit. So what's that? So the novelty of bar is what? The novelty of bar is that even though you don't own it, the Torah placed it back into your Rishus. The Torah made it like yours, even though technically speaking, you don't own it. So the Gemara says, and what's the other one? Barbish Sarabim. And the other one is the Chametz Mishesh Sha'os Ulamala. What I said, the other one is Chametz from 6 hours and on. This is actually quite amazing. Even though, on one hand, the Torah took it out of my Rishus, but if I did not properly dispose of it, the Torah puts it back in my Rishus to be Chayiv and Bal Yeroi and Bal Yimotzen. So the Gemara says, Tistayim. So we'll say, therefore, it's clear from here that what? That Rabbi Lazar is of the opinion that even for Nezakov, even ultimately again, for my ownerless property in Rishus HaRabim, I am still Chayiv for damages that it causes. Umi Amar Rabbi Lazar Hachi, the Bible says that Rabbi Lazar really hold that I'm Chayiv for property of mine in Rishus HaRabim, even if I render it ownerless. So is that true? So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Ipchabi, Rabbi Lazar says just the opposite. Listen to this. Tisnan. Ha'hofich esad golos. Well, so let's say a person is Rishus HaRabim, and he comes across manure. Right? Golos is manure. And what happens? He turns it over. Meaning he lifts it up, and he turns it over. So what happens? I will say, now the case over here is, so there's manure in Rishus HaRabim, Pashlus, this is Hefker. So Reuven comes along and lifts it, picks it up and turns it over. So the Mara says, what's the halacha? V'huzak b'hen acher, then Shimon comes along and slips on it and gets injured. What's the halacha? Chayiv b'nizko. So we'll say, Reuven lifted it up and turned it over. Essentially what? Essentially acquired the manure, and therefore what? Is chayiv for any subsequent damages that occur as a result. But so the message is don't lift up manure. I mean that's the take home message, right? Words to live by. But again, the idea is if you lift it up, you take responsibility for it, and therefore again you're chayiv for damages. Rabbi Loza says, that's only true if when I lifted it up, I had intention to acquire it. If I did not have intention to acquire it, then what? Then potter. Alma mafkir nizakov potter. So we'll say, what do you see from here? You see from here that if one makes his property ownerless, then lemaisa again, he is potter. I was about to say, the idea over here is, obviously the original owner of the manure is potter, because whenever he's gone, and then also, even though I lifted it up, if my kavano was not to go ahead and acquire it, even though I was like, the act of lifting it up could be one of an act of acquisition, let me say, if I have no intention to acquire it, it remains ownerless, and therefore you see from here, based on this, that if one is mafkir, his damaging property in Rishus HaRabim, he will be potter ultimately again for damages that occurred.
You're turning it over, change the status.
Oh, so good, hold on. The case of Rabosai is where what? He lifted up the manure, but essentially, he put it right back where it was. which is another way of saying what? That his act of lifting essentially didn't do anything. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi, mashal d'Rav Adbar Avla Ma'adavar Doma." To what can this be compared? Lamotse bar magula bechisa bechazav v'gila. This can be compared to, let's say, I'm walking through Sarabim. I see there's a pit. It's an open pit. I cover it and uncover it. So we'll say, am I chayy for subsequent damages for uncovering a pit? No. Why? Because effectively, I haven't done anything more than was originally there. It's true, I covered it for a little while, but then I uncovered it, but I just restored it to what it was originally. So therefore, I'm not chayy for that. How can you compare those two cases? Hasam lo istalik lu maisarishon. Hacha istalik lu maisarishon. So we'll say, here's the difference. The difference is in the pit case, the pit was there the whole time. I covered it for a little bit of time, and then I uncovered it. I did not do anything to change the original act. In this case of Rabosai, istalik lu maisarishon, the manure was on the ground. When I lifted it up, so Rabosai, now again, something new has now occurred. I've now demonstrated some level of ownership ultimately over that piece of manure. So the Gemara says, "Halo dami el lamotzi." I'll tell you where this can be comparable to. "Halo dami el lamotzi bar megula umimat vitamima v'chazer v'chafra." But you know what this can be compared to a case too? I find a pit, I fill in the pit, and I re-excavate the pit. So we'll say, what's the halacha in that case? "Distalkuluhu ma'aserishon v'kaimala abirshuso." Ultimately, again, the case of Osei would have to. So in that case of Osei, what? I would be chayiv. Why? Because by filling in the pit, I've essentially negated the existence of the first pit, and then by excavating it again, I've now created a new pit. So Osei, we'll stop over here for today. So just, again, what we're leaving off with Rabbi Osei is, so just let me say what we've established. We've established, number one, is that tripping is not, right, niskalaposhe, tripping is not negligent. What we don't know yet, we're still in the midst of the machlokes, is if I mafkir nizakov, if I have damaging property in Rishus Rabim, and I declare it hefker, am I chayiv for damages that occur subsequently? So that is the fundamental machlokes that we are left with. And again, I'm going to leave you hanging in the dung, right? So meaning, again, at the end of the day, or with the dung, right? Meaning, again, so ultimately, we're going to leave off with this case where, again, what you have over here is somebody's lift, and we'll say, you should know, this case, by the way, not necessarily with manure, but Lamaisa has incredible ramifications. Essentially, what Allah is trying to clear over here is, when you pick stuff up, what is your level of responsibility ultimately for that item? Essentially, at what point in time do you take on an ownership interest in that item? And of course, the ramifications are, in this case, is if someone is subsequently damaged by that item, what level of liability do I have? To be continued tomorrow. Say that again.